Morning. Our scripture lesson today comes from 1 John chapter 1, and it's verses 1 through 4. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you this cold morning with open hearts. Lord, this week, as Fred and I have prepared for our Sunday school class, prepared for a new journey this year, we prayed a special prayer that there would be specific hearts in these seats today. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue the work that your Holy Spirit started this week in opening the eyes, the ears, the minds, and the heart to receive a specific message that you have for us. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. It's January, which is a time where we all sit down and reflect on the year, what's happened in the past, and where we are in our life and where we'd like to go, and the resolutions are made. The reason resolutions are written is because we've become complacent somewhere in our lives. And we're looking to fix or improve on an area so that we'll be happier overall. Why do we want to lose weight? That's one of the most famous resolutions. Well, it's because we feel like we'd feel better if we looked better. It would just make us happier. Why do we want to save money? Another big resolution. Because we want to have a better control over our finances that are causing joy-stealing stress in our lives. Why do we make the resolution to read more? Because we think that stepping away from the iPhone, this is my personal one, and opening an actual book will give us that peace and calm we crave every day. January is a time where we dedicate time, money, attention, and energy into becoming happier, healthier, better versions of ourselves than we were last year. January in 2018 was also the time where I had all of you write out on cards what you wanted to do in order to go deeper in your faith. I asked you to think about that life raft that you were clinging to instead of clinging to Jesus. Most of you said you were clinging to control, you were clinging to pleasing other people, and you were clinging to satisfying your own selfish desires instead of desiring time with Jesus each day. And I know I have referenced these cards over the year multiple times, but the reason I keep bringing them up is because of the immense impact that they had on my heart. Because that it was a little view inside of your souls, that glimpse into your heart, and I just can't shake it. Because it was a little glimpse into that vulnerable piece of your life that you don't really want to talk about, share about, or think about. It was those cards that opened the eyes of the leadership of this church to a need, a hunger that simply cannot go unanswered. It was a glimpse, a teeny tiny look into what is a much bigger picture. Fred Rose and I have spent countless time over these cards, organizing them, putting them in categories, praying over them, trying to make sense of where to go. How can we best address these cards, these needs? And the answer was obvious: Jesus. Jesus is the answer to everything. We all need a more intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. But how do we deliver that to you? How do we hand that to you? So, sticking with our theme of resolutions this year, You can't simply walk through the doors of a gym and expect to lose weight. You actually have to do something while you're there. So simply walking through the doors of that church, of our church this morning, that's not going to get you a relationship with Jesus. You actually have to do something. And sticking with this analogy for just one more moment, we also know that real results come from a personally tailored plan. When I was on my weight loss journey, I had to look into what was specific to me, my weaknesses, my nutrition, my height, my weight, body type, age. All of those things combined my personally tailored weight loss plan. Well, similarly, there's not a plan that Fred and I could offer you. There is no one-size-fits-all model with which that we could get you to a place with Jesus in your life where you want to be. And the reason for that is because each of your lives are filled with these intricately woven stories. You have a past of beautiful experiences, hurtful experiences, pain and loss, success, interests, likes, dislikes, all of the things that over your lifetime that you have seen, that you have heard, that you have done, that you have experienced, they mold who you are as a person. So that understanding of how different all of you are, mixed with this intense desire for you to know Jesus more intimately, that is the thing that Fred and I are working through. And this struggle is not new to Fred and Christine. It is not new to Meadow Lake Presbyterian. It plagues the church at large. It has been around for centuries. The people living in biblical times had these same struggles. The disciples were trying desperately to offer good news of Jesus to people, but they were like us. They had different backgrounds. They have had different life experiences, and it shaped the way that their minds and hearts received or didn't receive Him. Today, and for part of our study throughout January, Fred and I are going to be referencing parts of 1 John. It is something that we use to study in preparation for this month. And it is felt by some scholars that the authorship of this letter belongs to John, who was a disciple of Jesus, who walked with Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. He studied at his feet. He watched him perform miracle after miracle, heal people, drive out demons, feed the hungry. This man, John, had the honor of actually sitting down and breaking bread with Jesus. John loved Jesus so intimately, and he had this extremely incredible desire for everyone to know Jesus as he did. With that understanding, let's read 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. John is pleading with the readers of this letter, pleading with you and me to understand the depth of love and the understanding with which he comes from as he writes. He's saying, please just understand how amazing this Jesus is. Trust me, I know. I walked with him. I touched him. I learned at his feet. So why did he say that? Well, it wasn't for him to be a little bit more superior. My study Bible has this to say about the audience of this letter. Excuse me. The recipients of this letter had been exposed to false teaching. This group of false teachers claimed to have a direct knowledge of God and to be morally perfect. However, their sinful behavior, lack of love, and prideful claims betrayed their belief. So these believers are being influenced by a group of people who are telling them the wrong thing about Jesus, the wrong thing about Christianity. So he's saying, you know, you're being told lies, and you're believing them as truth, But please listen to me. I know the truth. I knew Jesus. Remember, I touched him. I walked with him. Please listen to me. So I want to stop right there for a second. Before we go any deeper into this letter, you need to seriously, seriously stop and think about it. Who or what has twisted the truth of God in your life? Who or what has pushed you away? Was there ever a person, a time in your life, a trial, a struggle that you went through that caused you to doubt the goodness of God? Did someone cause you to think that because you've sinned, that you're no good to God? Has someone placed a question of doubt during an intensely vulnerable time in your life, causing you to question God? The 27th of this month will be the 2-year anniversary of my brother's death. I can remember someone who actually meant well in the broader context of this question, but they cut me to the bone with their words. They said, "So your brother, he was a drug addict. Why did God let him have a life like that?" It was a false understanding. Maybe you can relate. Do you simply struggle with something you heard in church or something you've read in the Bible before? It doesn't necessarily have to be bad or catastrophic. My mom grew up in a church that preached on a basis of fear. Fear God, watch out, or you're going to go to hell. That was kind of the basis of her belief. Now, I did not attend such a church growing up, but as you can imagine, that upbringing in her influenced me a little bit. So my relationship with God was based on fear of being punished more than just out of a desire to know God. It was a false understanding. Did someone share some twisted biblical truth or maybe even use scripture to make you feel like you were not cherished or loved? I've stood beside one of our brave youth in a classroom at his school a few months ago, where he was leading a group of peers, proudly fighting prejudice and stereotypes. He was standing up against well-meaning Christians that were using parts of the Bible to make him and other students feel like there was something wrong with them. He is a junior in high school, and he is standing up claiming Jesus and fighting people who use the Bible to push people away from God. These youth were under the influence of a false understanding. I remember hearing a story one time of an extremely outspoken atheist, and he explains how he came to lose faith in God. He was a young boy, and one of his parents passed away. And he was at the church at the funeral as a young child, and this woman from the church comes up and she says, "Oh, God just needed another rose for his garden in heaven." That comment from a Christian was meant to bring comfort, was meant to bring light in the middle of a really dark situation. But instead, this man, as a small child, walked away from God because he said, "How could I ever love a God, serve a God, who would be so selfish as to take my parent away from me so that he could have a rose in his garden?" That one comment, that one interaction changed the course of this man's entire life. It was a false understanding. That is the fear that, like this man, we allow people, flawed human beings just like you and me, to influence our belief more than just trusting his word. Nowhere in scripture can you find anything about God killing people for a garden in heaven. So this morning, I'm asking you to search deep, to answer the question, are you allowing a false understanding to keep you from God's truth, to keep you from a relationship with him? Have you trusted the word of man more than the word of God? This is super important because faith is so precious. It is so delicate, it is so intricately woven that sometimes all it takes is one word to make the entire thing come unravel. Today I'm asking you to think about the false teacher in your life, to really dig deep and discover what pushed you away, what caused you to ponder, caused you to struggle. And this all may seem a little bit backwards. Fred and I have been promising a series in January that was going to help you look at where you are and where you want to go in your faith journey. But to help you truly abide with Jesus. So why are we looking at examples of faith that make it come crumbling down? Well, in order to honestly evaluate where you are, you need to understand those stumbling blocks. You need to assess what it is that causes you to doubt and to struggle. To the people addressed in 1 John, they knew, they could identify who those false teachers were. So John is writing this letter because he wants to highlight, hey, those things that you're being told, they're lies, and I'm writing this letter so that you can have the true abundant life, so that you can have it now and for eternity. It is why John continues the opening of his letter with this. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus. We write this to make our joy complete. In the letter that I wrote to you in the bulletin this morning, I tried my best to pour out my heart and share how passionate I am about this, about each of you, about you being in fellowship with Jesus and with one another. I'm passionate about you knowing Jesus because I know, based on your cards last January, I know your hearts from conversations I have with you in Bible studies. I know through your prayer requests that you've shared over the past few years. I know that something, someone, sometime has caused all of us to drift away and not be where we want to be. We are not in the relationship with Jesus that we want to have. So as uncomfortable as it may make you, I'm going to ask you to fill out another card. Because this year, instead of just telling God what you cling to instead of Jesus, ask yourself the question, why do you cling to it? Why do you cling to control? Why do you cling to pleasing people? What is the false understanding that you have struggled with? Like me, maybe you falsely believed that God is a God of punishment. Maybe you falsely believed that you are just full of shame and you're just not worthy of God. Maybe you thought that because you didn't grow up in church, it's too late for you. You don't know all the Bible stories. You're not a part of this club. Maybe you're still clinging to the lie that you can't make time for God. You're too busy. You can't hear God on your own. Maybe, just maybe, you have just simply been angry at God and you still can't even figure out why. Whatever it is, whatever false understanding you have wrestled with, bring it to the surface today. I'm going to open us with prayer in just a moment. And then a song is going to play on the screen. During the song, I want to give us all a moment to allow God to begin to bring back whatever it is, a memory, a trial, a struggle, some false teaching that influenced you and caused your faith to shake. There are cards left on the seats, and there's a basket with pens and more cards on the table in the back left. But I want you to take this card, and as the song plays, I encourage you to just write out in front of you what happened. What stole your relationship with Jesus? These can remain anonymous. You don't have to put your name. But if you would maybe like Fred and I are the only ones who will see this, if you would like us to know, write your name, and then we can be praying for you. After the song is over, I'll come back up, I'll close us in prayer, and then Verna is going to come and play. And as she plays, we're going to come forward, just like we do for communion, and we're going to place them again at the foot of the cross. Will you please pray with me? Father, you know the hearts, the minds, the lives that are seated here with us this morning. Very truly, I trust that your Holy Spirit brought them here today for a specific reason. And that reason is you are at work in their hearts. You are after them. You are pursuing them. You love each of these people here with a love that is deeper than we can fathom. We are your precious babies who belong to you. We want to know you, the true you. But Lord, you understand that we live in a fallen world. And in this world, we have known our fair share of heartache and trouble. We have been victims to unimaginable things. We have experienced loss, been bullied, felt like the outsider, or been told we're somehow inferior. Things happened to us along the way that caused us to walk away from you, caused us to become angry at you, caused us to feel shame, guilt, and regret that make us feel unworthy of you. We've been made to feel unwelcome in a church setting, uncomfortable around Christians who put on an air of perfection. Lord, whatever it is that happened to us, as painful as it may be, reveal that injustice, that false teaching that caused us to go astray. Work in our hearts to bring it to the surface, Lord. Amen.